verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore that eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, I need your touch. God, I pray you'd help me. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as you've given me this message this week, I pray, God, you burn it in my heart. And I pray, God, you'd help me deliver to these people, Lord. Lord, your people need to hear from you. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. We need to hear from heaven, God. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts and lives. I pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost this morning, God, to help us. And God, I pray you'd give me the ability to deliver the message you put in my heart. And God, I pray you'd give us the open ears and the sensitive hearts toward heaven and toward your word, that we might receive the word of God. And that, Lord, we might not only receive it and hear it, but, Lord God, that we might be obedient to it. I pray, God, you'd speak to us and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Here in Matthew chapter number 6, the Lord Jesus is speaking to a group of people. He's speaking here what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This is part of the sermon. We jump in the middle of the sermon. He's speaking, and you can picture the people on the hillside. You can picture his disciples there. You can picture the followers, those that have gathered together, the multitudes gathered to hear the Lord Jesus. And in the midst of this discourse, he's talking about the Christian life. And here he is, and he gets to verse number 19, and he says some things. And he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. He's dealing with wealth, and he starts to deal with the things of life that you and I, listen, we have to have some of these things that he speaks of. We have to have some of these things in order to live a life. But when you get down to verse number 32 and 33, he speaks and he says, your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He said, he's talking about all these things, all these things. Verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, your Father knows what you need. He's going to give you what you need. But over and over and over, in verse 25, and verse 27, and verse 28, in verse 31, and in verse 34, he says something like this, take no thought. In verse 27, he says, which of you by taking thought? In verse 28, he says, why take ye thought? In verse number 31, he says, therefore, take ye no thought. And in verse number 34, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. What's he saying, preacher? Well, I would say that little phrase right there, take no thought, or why take ye thought? Take ye no thought. What he's saying, literally, that word has the idea of to be anxious or to be worried about. And what Jesus is saying is just don't worry about it. Don't worry about those things. Hey, he's like, basically, here it is. Don't even think about it. You ever talk to somebody and you ask them you need something done, and they say, oh, I can take care of that. And you say, you sure you can do that? And they turn into you, and then they say something like this. They say, don't even think about it. You ever talk to somebody? Y'all going to have to wake up this morning, amen. Hey, I come to preach, but y'all going to have to come get with me, all right? Hey, listen, you ever talk to somebody and they offered to help and you need something and then you're worried if they're going to do it, and they say, look, don't even think about it. I got it covered. And that's what Jesus said. He said, listen, don't even think about it. Don't worry about it. The old song was written years ago, don't worry, be happy. Hey, listen, we're not going to sing that song this morning, but and the fact is we can look at this passage and we can see where Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about those things. Listen, hey, people are occupied. I'm talking about Christians. We're occupied worrying about all these things, and we're not seeking the things of God, when God said that if we would seek Him, that He would, hey, take care of, and that He would handle all these things that we're worried about. And I'm going to just simply say it this. God's saying, don't think about it. I got that. That's what God's saying. God's saying here in verse, and Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, He said, don't worry about all those things. I got that handled. He said, I got your back. I'm going to take care of that. Listen, don't you worry about, let me just simply say, why are you going to worry about what God said He'd take care of? Hey, indirectly what we're saying is, God, I don't trust you. Hey, listen, can I simply, hey, I'm just getting into this thing. I'm laying a little groundwork. But indirectly, when we're worried about everything in life, and we're worried about what we're going to have and what we're going to do and where we're going to go and how we're going to pay, when we're worried about this, indirectly what we're saying is, God, I do not trust you. Hey, because I'm worrying about this, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to put all my care into these things. I'm anxious about this. And we are saying, God, I don't trust you. I'm not seeking you. I'm seeking all these things. What God's saying, if you'll seek me, I'll take care of those things. That's what He's saying. I look in this passage and I see several things that people get wrong. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 19 and 20, sometimes I see where people have the wrong aim in life. We have the wrong aim, or you may use the word the wrong goal or the wrong motivation. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, look at verse 19. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Many times I believe we get caught up and God blesses us and we get a nice home and we get a nice vehicle and we get some nice clothes and we get some things. And sooner or later we start wanting to lay up treasure on earth. And He says, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He says, you're trying to get things like raiment. You're trying to get nice clothes. And He said, moths are going to eat them things up. They're going to rot. He said, you're trying to get material goods that rust is going to corrupt. Rust is going to ruin. You know that old vehicle, that boat, whatever it is. Hey, one day, hey, the rust is going to eat it up. Y'all with me this morning? Hey, you understand? He's saying, listen, moth, hey, all these things are corruptible things. They're going to rot away. They're going to get eat up. They're going to rust away. And He said, and the treasures that you're seeking, the treasures you're trying, He says, thieves can come in and take them. People get the wrong aim. We lose focus sometimes in life, and we start to looking at the material things instead of the master's things. We start looking at things that are corruptible instead of those things that are incorruptible. We start looking at those things that are temporal as opposed to those things that are eternal. And Jesus is saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Hey, listen, it's all right to have a little bit of money in the bank. It's all right to have some things, but don't let that be your goal. Don't let that be your motivation of life. Don't let that be the end of your aim in life. Hey, He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. But verse number 20, He says, but. Watch now, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Some people have the wrong aim. They're laying their treasures on earth, corruptible things, when we ought to be laying up treasures in heaven if we'll seek Him. And if we'll seek Him first, and we'll put Him first, and He'll add to us the things that we're worried about, the things we're trying to hoard up, one day they're going to burn. But God's saying, if you'll seek me first, I've got some treasures for you in heaven that, hey, moth can't touch, and rust won't corrupt, and a thief can't break through and get a hold of. We've got the wrong aim many times. We've got the wrong goal in life. And then number two, I see this. Sometimes we have the wrong adoration. Look in verse number 21 through 24. He says, for your treasure is there will your heart be also. That hurts sometimes. Hey, where your treasure is, there will your heart. He didn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be. He said where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I simply say this? Sometimes in life, or not sometimes, but all the time, our treasure indicates our pleasure. What I said was our treasure indicates our pleasure. Where we spend our money indicates the things that we love the most. Where, let me just say this. I could go in your house and look at your checkbook if you'd allow me, and I could tell you the things that mean the most to you. Because where you spend your money and where you spend your time, that's where your heart's at. Amen, preacher. That hurts, but that's good, preacher. Hey, we've got the wrong adoration. We've got the wrong, can I say this, the wrong God. The wrong master. Many times, listen, hey, the Bible does not condemn us having wealth in this life, but the Bible does condemn us living this life for wealth. And many times we get mixed up and we take the blessings that God has given us and we look at the blessings that God has given us and we get focused on those blessings to where we start living for those blessings instead of the blesser. And what God condemns is the love of money is the root of all evil. Hey, we need money to survive. Everybody knows you got to buy gas, you got to buy food, you got to buy, you got to have money. It's all right. Hey, it's wise to invest money right and properly and in good places, but hey, when you start living and that's all you think about is how am I going to make another dollar? How am I going to get a little bit more? How am I going to, hey, you know the richest man in the world, you know what he wants this morning? He wants just another dollar. He wants a little bit more. And what the Bible condemns is not wealth in life, but life for wealth. And then we look in these little verses, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore that eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Here he is. He's talking about the light and the eye. He's basically talking about the focus on Christ. He's saying don't let anything cloud your focus on Christ and on seeking him. Verse 24, he says, no man. No man. He didn't say very few. He said no man can serve two masters. Look now, I'm just reading the Bible right now. We're just reading the Bible. No man can serve two masters. He didn't say very few men. He didn't say just one out of ten. He didn't say, you know, just not your... No, he said no man can serve two masters. No man... Watch, he didn't say no man can serve three or four masters. He said no man can serve two. Watch what he's talking about. He says, for either he will hate. That word hate, it literally means to detest or to despise. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one. That word, to adhere to give his time to. He will hold to the one and despise the other. Watch it now. He's going to get it real clear. You cannot serve God and mammon. Just in case you was wondering what gods, he wasn't talking about necessarily the devil. Here in the context here, he's talking about serving God and mammon. Mammon is wealth. It speaks of material money, the money, the finance. He says, no man can serve two masters, and you cannot serve God and mammon. Sometimes we have the wrong aim. Sometimes we have the wrong adoration. Sometimes we go from loving the God who blesses us to loving the blessings that God gives us. Hello? Hey, I'm just simply saying this. Our treasury indicates our pleasure, and you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve, hey, a deity God and a dollar bill. Hello? God is not condemning anybody for making good money. He's not condemning anybody for investing wisely. He's not condemning anybody for spending wisely. He's not condemning anybody for saving up and making good investments. But what he's condemning is people who start to live for and love and long for the dollar bill. And you say, what are you talking about? Hey, our churches are full of people that all they think about, hey, all they talk about, all they meditate on is how am I going to make another dollar? the wrong adoration, the wrong master. If you're not careful, sir, ma'am, if you're not careful, you'll start depending on money so much that you'll start putting your money in places and you'll start watching your money and you'll have your money eyes on the money instead of the master. And you're not only your aim is wrong, but your adoration is wrong. You're offering your love and your worship to the dollar bill if you're not careful. And then he says this in verse 25 through 34. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You take no thought. And in verse 27, he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Here he is in all these verses where he's talking about taking no thought. And then when we get down to verse number 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here's what I see here. Not only do we have the wrong aim or the wrong goal or the wrong adoration and the wrong God, but sometimes I believe we have the wrong assurance and the wrong guarantee. We're depending on the wrong means. Hey, when we take in thought, when we're worried about it, when we're sitting around, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to provide this? And we're worried to death about it and we're chewing our nails over it. Hey, listen, many times we're not trusting God. That's what we're doing. And if you're not careful, you'll start saying, oh, I can handle that. I can do this, and I can make another dollar bill, and I can do this, and I can pay this bill, and I can do this, and I can buy that. And if you're not careful, you're depending on self instead of the Savior. We depend on self when we think about it, when we worry about it, when we become anxious about it, when we start popping pills, thinking, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? When we ought to be dependent upon a sovereign Savior and seek Him first. And He said, if you'll seek me, I'll add all these things. Worrying is a sin. Worrying is a problem that affects many people in our society. Worry is at an all-time high. Worry is something that affects us drastically in our society, and not only in our society, but in our churches. Worrying affects things. Let me just say this. Worrying affects us mentally. Worrying, I mean, do your studies, go do some research. Worrying affects us mentally. It takes a toll on our brains and the function of our brains. People who sit around and worry a lot of times, they have mental problems. They have problems where their brain doesn't function. Sometimes their brain is so worried about something that it doesn't tell them to do the things that it needs to do. And their brain, hey, listen, worrying takes an effect on you mentally. It'll take an effect on you socially. You get around somebody that's worried all the time, they're not good company. They're not good fellowship. It will affect their relationships. You got a husband and a wife, and the wife constantly worries and constantly. And I'm telling you, it'll take a toll on their relationship. The man, he's always worried, and you know the woman's worried, and because the woman's worried, the man's worried. And I'm telling you what, it'll take a toll on a relationship. Some of you's looking at me like, preacher, have you been reading my mail? No, but I'm telling you what, I'm reading the Bible. And this will affect you. Hey, and here's the deal. Hey, here's what he's saying. Hey, worrying will take a toll on you. It'll take a toll, hey, socially. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect the way you deal with, hey, in your marriage. It'll affect the way you deal with your children. It'll affect you deal with the way you deal and relate to people at church, at work, in all of your relationships. Worrying will affect you physically. Did you know people who worry a lot, their appetite changes? A lot of times they lose their appetite. Their diet changes. Their sleep pattern changes. They can't sleep. They start depending. There's people that are getting so tired physically, but when they lay in bed, they can't quit worrying, so they get no rest. And they lay in the bed, and they wake up. When they do get up, they get up more tired and physically exhausted because of the mental worry that they've been doing all night. They're anxious. They have headaches all the time. They have upset stomachs all the time. They have ulcers all the time. Their diet is not normal. I'm just simply saying worrying takes a toll on you in more ways than one. Can I say this? Worrying will affect you spiritually. Listen, you're sitting around worrying all the time. You're not trusting God. And if you're not trusting God, you're worried about everything, trying to figure it out yourself. You're all worried. You're in a tizzy all the time. The Bible still says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and all the ways acknowledge Him. And He said, lean not on thy understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He's going to take care of you. I'm just simply saying this. Worrying is going to bother you. Worrying is going to tear you up. Whether it's mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. Worry, I'm telling you, here's something about worry. Worry is a repetitive process. People who worry always worry. It's repetitive. Guess what they worry about? They worry about the same thing, because guess what? Not only is it repetitive, it's non-productive. What did Jesus say? He said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? In other words, he said, you can think about it, you can worry about it, but you can't change it by thinking about it. You can't change things by worrying about it. You're not going to change anything by worrying. It's repetitive and it's non-productive. Can I say this? Most of the time, somebody said it this wisely, most of the time, watch this, we worry about things so much that we spend money that we don't have to buy things that we don't need to impress people that we don't even like. That's the American way. It used to be the American dream was the White House, the car, and the picket fence, and the dog in the backyard. That was the American dream. Now we're so busy worried about what the Joneses got, worried about what the next one's got, worried about what the next door neighbor, worried about what the... worried about everything. That we go out and we go in debt and we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people, hey, that we don't even know or don't even like. Worry. Well, you say, what do we worry about? Well, Jesus talked about some things people worry about. In verse 19 and 20, we talked about finances. People worry about finances. They're trying to lay up treasures. They're worried about their treasures. They're worried about their material goods. Hey, sometimes he talked about food. Hey, he talked about what we put in our bodies in verse number 25 and in verse number 26. And then in verse number 31, he said, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they toil nor gather into barns. Yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Some people sitting around worried about where the next meal is coming from. And simply all you got to do is look out the window and see God feeds the birds. And every once in a while, I'd like to hit a rabbit or a possum. You say, preacher, you're mean. I like to hit them and kill them. That's the way God kills. That's the way God feeds the birds. I see people crying, oh, that little animal got killed. It's just an animal. Just an animal. Wait a minute, hold on. I got a verse for you right here, right down here. Wait a minute. Wait, where's it at? He said, are you not, verse 26, are you not much better than they? Are you not much better than they? You understand that that little puppy dog was not created in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I'm not saying go out and be mean. I'm not saying, I'm not promoting cruelty to the animals. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm simply saying, you're much better than they. He created you in his own image, in his own likeness. And let me say this, if he's going to feed a bird or some fowl of the air, he's going to make sure you got what you need. Amen. If he'll let the chain of events, if he'll let the possum or the rabbit die so the buzzard can eat, surely he's going to feed somebody that he made in his own image and his own likeness. People worry about food. People worry about their physical fitness, their stature. He said, which of you, by taking thought, worrying about, you can worry about all you want, you can't make yourself no taller. You're not going to change your physical fitness and your stature. Some people worry about fashion and their fabrics. He's talking about here the clothing, the things you put on. And he simply says in verse, down there in verse number, he says it in verse 28 and then down in verse number 31 as well. He says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? People worry about all these things. People worry about the future. Down in verse 34, he says, take no thought for the morrow. People worry about all kinds. Some people got to have fashion. You understand some people are going to flip out and they can't stand it if they don't have the latest and the greatest. There's some people that if they don't get the latest car that hits the market, man, they're going to die. Some people, if they don't have the latest pair of shoes or sneakers or something, man, I mean, they get all uptight, they afraid something. You realize you ain't got to have all those things to survive. God's going to give you what you need. Amen, preacher. I mean, simply saying people worry about all kinds. In our society, people worry about the major things. They worry about the minute things. We worry about, hey, material things. We worry about marital things. We worry about monetary things. We worry about the mundane things. We worry about the minute things. And sometimes, when all else fails, we just worry about the maybe things. You realize most of the things people worry about don't even ever happen? Most of the things that people sit around worrying and chewing their nails and popping pills, hey, and it runs them to the bottle, it runs them to the pill popping, it runs them to this and that. Most of the things that run you to the psychiatrist's couch don't even exist. People sit around worrying about all kinds of stuff. I'm just like, chill, man. Don't worry. Be happy. Trust Jesus, amen. And Jesus said down in verse 32, he said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles, that's the heathen nations. He's thinking about all these material things, all these finances and food and fashion, all the fabrics and all the clothing, all the future things, all the cares of the world. He said the Gentiles worry about them things. A lost people worry about them. Then he says this. He says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these. And then verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm simply saying this, for all the worries of all these things, he repeats it, the cure is Christ. The cure. The cure for your worry, sir, ma'am, mom, dad, young person, the cure for the thing you're worrying about is Christ. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? This is a basic principle to the Christian life that we must learn in order to please God. You cannot please God without having faith in him and trusting him. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The word seek here, it means to seek or to worship or to be about, to desire, to crave, to endeavor after, to inquire for, to aim at, to strive after. To seek in order to find. And that's what he said here in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know how we know that people don't do that? Because people will change their morals to meet a need. Hello? People will say, well, I don't believe with such and such politician. I don't believe in his morals, but he's going to take care of my need. So I'm going to go against direct principles of the Word of God, and I'm going to vote for this person because he's going to take care of me. Hold on now. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Just a simple question. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? How about put God first and let God meet your needs instead of some crazy, lying, double-tongued politician? Hey, listen, you put that politician first, and he's going to put, hey, I'll tell you what he's going to put you first. He's going to put you first on the list to raise your taxes. And God says, if you'll put me first, I'll give you all these other things. To seek in order to find. Let me ask you a question. Does your life exhibit a pattern that you're seeking Christ and his will, his kingdom, his righteousness, and not just in some flippant, careless, walking around, oh, I'm looking, no, I'm talking about in an effort to find him. I like to hunt. I haven't been able to go hunt in the last couple of years, but I like to hunt, Brother Gary. But I don't know about these guys that just you know, every once in a while they go out there in their blue jeans and they just put on a little ball cap. I've seen them out in the woods smoking cigarettes, and he's got his old 14 over his shoulder, and he's just, we don't hunt. I'm hunting. He ain't hunting. He's killing time. A deer ain't going to fall. Hey, a deer's going to stay as far away from him. Hey, he ain't hunting. You watch somebody that hunts. I'm talking about hunts to find. He'll go out there and watch. He'll deck himself out in the latest and greatest camouflage. Hey, we used to, they'd take scent. I'll just leave it at that. Scent and put it on the heels of your boots. And you'd walk from where you went in the woods, and you'd keep that stuff on you and walk it right up around your stand where you was going to be sitting. And you'd put that stuff on, and you'd put decoys out. Is anybody hunting here? Are y'all around? Hey, put all the camouflage you could put on. Hey, sometimes you even set up a blind. do everything. Sometimes people climb a tree. I ain't got that crazy yet. Hey, they go up in a tree. Hey, you know what they're doing? They're seeking in order to find. They're not going about it flippantly, man. They're doing the latest and the greatest. They're trying to find the best technique that they can to lure in, to trap, to trick, so that they can find that deer, that big buck, man. They'll go out there and rattle them horns. They'll do everything they can. They know, they watch the calendar. Some of them watch the moon. I'm going to hunt by the pattern of the moon. I know when to go out. You know what they're doing? They're doing everything. Some of y'all think I'm crazy. People do this stuff. Brother Rodney over here is a fisherman. He could probably tell you the best time of the day to go fishing on a certain day. You know why? Because they don't go out just to drown worms. They go out there. When they go out there, they got attention. Hey, they're seeking to find. When you go fishing, do you go just to kill time or do you want to catch the big one? He wants to catch some. Now, me, if I'm going fishing, I'm just going to drown worms. I'm going to get me a tub of earthworms. I'm going to get me a hook. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to drown worms. That's relaxation. Amen. Reel it in and see where the perch done ate all your worm off. And the bass wasn't even have. That's not seeking to find. That man knows what he's doing, man. He's after it, man. I'm telling you, he's putting some detail to it. Let me ask you about your Christian life. Are you seeking him to find him? Or are you just going through the Christian life flippantly? I mean, you just got a hook with no bait. How much detail have you put in on your life of seeking him first, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Let me ask you this. Do you seek him and does it show up in your time? How much time do you spend with him? What do you do with your time? Where do you spend the bulk of your time? Let me ask you a question. When church time comes around, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday school, 11 o'clock, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7:30, revival. Does your life show that you're seeking him? Don't sit there and say you're seeking him if you don't spend your time with him. Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you have time in prayer? Do you have time in reading the Word? Hey, simply say, hey, what about your treasure? And we're not going to do it, but if we were to reveal every one of us our checkbook records, and here's where I spent my money last month. Here's where I spent my money in the last year. What would it say about you seeking him? Where would it say your heart was? What about the choices that you make, the decisions that you make? How often do you have a decision, and instead of just rushing into that decision and say, oh, that's what I'll do, how often do you stop and seek God's will and say, God, what would you have me do? God, which direction do you think I should go? God, here's a job. Here's a job. Everybody says, God's opened up a door and God's gave me a new job. Hold on, I got a question. Are you telling me God gave you a job that took you out of church? You're never going to be in church anymore. You're never going to be doing the thing God wants you to do, but you're saying God blessed you with that job? I beg to differ, sir. Hey, I've heard people say, God gave me a job. What are you doing? Oh, I'm tending the bar. I beg to differ, sir. Hey, man, I got a new job. God gave me a job. What are you doing? Oh, I'm waiting tables down with Hooters. I beg to differ. Listen, God's will, you seeking God is not going to take you into an avenue or a venue of life where his word dictates and demands you stay away from. I knew a fellow years ago. What do you do, man? He got saved. And he's supposedly going to church and everything. But he wouldn't give up his job. He saw, but you know what he's doing? He was driving a beer truck. I'm just simply saying this. Hey, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think if you seek God and put him first, hey, and you say, God, I'm going to trust you, God will give you another job. Either God says, you seek me and I'll add to you, or he won't. Either you trust him or you don't. With how many of these things? All these things. Decisions in life. School. Where are you going to school? How much time did you pray about? Where are you going to work? How much time do you pray about it? What about your family? What about your family? The way you and your family operate. What would that say about you seeking Christ and seeking God's kingdom? the places your family goes, the place you do with your, the things you do with your family, the time you spend with your family, the activities you lead your family in, Dad. What about your habits? Those things that you enjoy doing. What would that say about you seeking? What would that say about your heart and your aim at pleasing Him? It's easy to say, oh, how I love Jesus. It's a whole other thing to live it. I'm simply saying people are so worried about everything in this life. People are biting their nails. They're frustrated over all these things. We've got to have this and I've got to have that. And I'm going to tell you what, when I see somebody that's constantly worried, I see somebody that's not trusting God the way they ought to. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you this morning. Hey, some people are looking for help in a diet when they ought to be looking for it in more devotion to God. Some people are looking for help in money when they need to be looking to the Master. Some people are looking for help in a hit when they need to be looking to Him. Some people are looking for the pills when they ought to be, seeking the paraclete of the Holy Ghost. Some people are looking for recreation when they ought to be seeking His righteousness. Some people are looking for another vacation when they ought to be seeking a victorious life in Christ. Some people are looking for a new joint when they ought to be looking for Jesus. Some people are looking for a crutch to lean on when they ought to be trusting Christ. Some people are looking for another break when they ought to be looking for the bridegroom and the blessed hope. Some people, listen, are looking at another shot instead of looking to the Savior. Your actions indicate how you're going to handle the things in life. Your actions indicate where your heart's at. Let me give you this real quick. Here's, seek ye first. Let me say a few things about seeking Him. Can I say just a couple things? I won't keep you long. Hey, seeking, let me say number one, seeking is personal. Watch verse 33. Seeking is personal. Seek ye. Ye, that's personal. That gets right down on, he didn't say seek everybody. He said seek ye. Are you listening? That's personal. Well, my mom and daddy's seeking Him. My mom and daddy's seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. My preacher's seeking. My wife's seeking. My husband's, hold on, seek ye. What are you seeking? Brother Roddy likes to fish. His wife doesn't always go fishing. Brother Jerry likes to hunt. I doubt Miss Debbie goes hunting. Hey, there's a lot of people that your spouse or your mom, your dad, or your child, maybe somebody in your life is seeking Him. That don't mean you are. It's a personal. It's a personal seeking. Hey, let me say this. Not only is it a personal seeking, but seeking is a priority. Watch what he said. Seek ye first. First. The word first there is the word proton in the Greek. Pro, to come before. Anything, in any order, in any rank. First, seek ye first. That's first in time, first in place, first in rank, first in anything that's listed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first. Let me ask you a question. Do you seek Him, but you're seeking all these other things too? Then you're not seeking Him first. It's either, listen, either the book means what it says or it don't. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hey, seeking needs to be a priority. Can I say this? Seeking is pointed or purposeful. Watch this. Remember I told you it means seek in order to find. Seek ye first. Watch this. He doesn't just say seek ye first anything. He tells you exactly what to seek. He says seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now he's listed in this passage, he's listed a whole lot of other things, material things, money. He's talking about the wealth. He talked about the food. He talked about the physical stature. He talked about tomorrow and all the world. But wait a minute, what does he say to seek in order to find? It's not an end to all those things. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, that ought to, hey, get first things first. Seek Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hey, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In John 3:3-5. You cannot see and enter the kingdom. And he said, hey, you've got to be born again to know anything about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. and his righteousness. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. Let me ask you a question. As you go through the Christian life, many people go through the Christian life aimless. They say a prayer. They trust Christ. Fair enough. They repent and believe Christ. And then they go out and they say, well, I'm saved. And they live their life sort of like this. Aimlessly, carelessly, no intentions, no purpose, no goal. What are you seeking this morning? Well, your heart will show what you're seeking. We've talked about all the things where you spent time, money, where you put your energy. What you get emotional about? All of these things are indicating what you are seeking. Let me ask you this. Are you seeking his kingdom and his righteousness purposefully? This is not just all we sing the song, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is more than singing a song. It's more than quoting a verse. This is a daily, day in and day out, habitual lifestyle pattern. Is your lifestyle say, I'm seeking him, his righteousness, his kingdom? That's what I live for. Let me say that if it does, if your seeking is personal, a priority, and purposeful, your seeking will be pleased and pleasing. You say, why? Well, this is what he said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then watch. Here's the pleasing. And all these things. What things? All these things that the Gentiles are seeking after. All these things, he said, don't worry about. All these things, he said, don't take thought of. If you'll seek him, he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's pretty good. Hey, that's pretty good. Do you know that all these things should be added? That means to be added or placed additionally. Additionally to what? Additionally to him. When you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, hey, you're going to be close to God. And on top of that, hey, you get him and then you get everything you need to go with it. This is not peace and prosperity. This is not, hey, serve God, he'll make you rich. No, this is you seek God, you serve God, you put God first, and God will give you everything you need to live this life. Placed additionally, beside, increased, give you more. He'll give you what you need. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you seeking substance? Or are you seeking a Savior who can provide every substance that you'll ever need? He talked about the treasures. Can I say that? Instead of seeking earthly treasures, maybe we ought to put our goal on seeking him and laying up treasures in heaven. He talked about our life, taking no thought for your life. Hey, why don't we, instead of worrying about our physical life, why don't we give some attention to living the abundant Christian life? Instead of talking about the food we're going to eat, why don't we worry about the spiritual food that we're going to digest? The milk and the meat of the Word of God. Instead of talking about what we're going to drink, why don't we get into the water of life and drink him? Talking about clothing and fashion, why don't we worry more about spiritually what we're wearing? Colossians 3:5 and Ephesians talks about, Ephesians chapter, I believe it's 4, talks or 5, he talks about the things we put off and the things we put on. Romans, I think it's 13, he talks about putting on, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Hey, I'm simply saying, hey, we worry about all the material things. Why don't we worry about the spiritual aspect of life? People worried about their, it's not nothing wrong with exercise. It's nothing wrong with taking care of your body physically. But you do know that the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Little. It does profit, but it's little. But we worry most of the time about our physical. Why don't we worry about our spiritual maturity and our spiritual health? I don't mean the word worry. I shouldn't use that word worry. Why don't we worry about it? We shouldn't worry about it. Why don't we give some attention to it? The details of our spiritual health. You realize if most Christians that exercise, can I simply say this? If most Christians that exercise, if they put as much attention to their spiritual walk as they did to their physical walk, we'd have some giant Christians. We'd have some giants of Christians. People go to the gym, man, they spend hours of the day, man. I'm talking about all, they won't eat certain foods, man. Listen, look up in here. I'm going to eat. It might make me sick as a dog, but I'm eating some ice cream. Y'all all right? When they pass an ice cream, unless it's chocolate, I'm eating it. Amen? Y'all can have all the chocolate. Save me the strawberry and the vanilla. Amen? Used to hate when I was a kid. Used to hate that Neapolitan. I used to hate that because they didn't know how to scoop it. They'd always scoop it where you got all three. I said, I just want the white and the vanilla and the strawberry. I want the vanilla and the strawberry. Y'all can have the chocolate. They always wanted to mess up the strawberry and putting chocolate in it. I ain't never understood that. Anyhow, people worry about, listen, the physical. Listen, if we give as much attention to the spiritual as we did to the physical, where could we be? Let me simply say this, and I'm done. God will be glorified when we seek the Savior and we're satisfied. Or we can see things, seek after things, and be terrified. You seek all these other things the Gentiles want. Gentiles, everybody's got to have it. Everybody's got to have money. Everybody's got to have clothes. Everybody's got to have food. That's what Jesus said. Everybody's got to have those things. He said, your Father knows that. Ain't you better than the birds out? Hey, ain't you better than the fowls? Everybody knows you got to have these things to live. Don't sit around and worry about them. What he's saying is seek me first. Trust me. Put me first. Get first things first, people. First things first. And he said, I'll add all these other things to you. You want to make sure all your needs are met? And I didn't say your wants. I said your needs. You want to make sure all your needs are met? You want to make sure your family's got food? You want to make sure your family's taken care of? I'll tell you the best step is to get on this altar and say, God, starting today here on out, I'm putting you first. God, from here on out, I'm putting you first in everything I do. God, starting today, I want to put first things first. I want to seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Let me ask you a question. Are you seeking him first? Are you seeking him first? If you seek him first, you'll be satisfied and God will be glorified in your life. Let's stand together all across the auditorium. Miss Haley's going to begin to play. I'm going to pray. The altar is open. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray, God, you'd help us. God, you know the need. Lord, you know the hearts of each person that's here this morning. And God, you know that in myself, Lord, I can help no one. But God, through your word and by your spirit, you've given me this message this morning. And I pray, God, you'd use it. And I pray, God, we'd be sensitive and obedient to what you have for us. God, have your will and way. Help us, God, this morning. God, I pray for those that maybe they've slipped in and maybe there's someone here that not saved. They've never trusted Christ. They've never been born again. God, I pray this morning that, Lord, they would begin to seek you by trusting you. Being born again into the kingdom of God. God, I pray for convicting power on their life. That you'd save them before it be too late. I pray for Christians, Lord, that haven't been putting you first like they ought to have. Maybe they sit around worrying about that. Maybe you just encourage them this morning to just trust you. Just trust you and seek you first. Trust you to take care of all of our needs. God, would you help us this morning? In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're